Let's pray together. Father, as we approach your holy word, we acknowledge that you have declared your kingdom is among us. Open our eyes to see it, our ears to hear it, our minds to understand it, our hearts to embrace it, and our hands and feet to serve it. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to open your Bibles and listen. For these are the very words of God, coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he who you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now, Jesus has spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe and that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Brothers and sisters, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. How would you finish this sentence? "Now, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he blank." How would you finish that sentence? Here's how I would finish it. "He immediately went and healed Lazarus." Indeed, you would do the same. But God's ways are different from our ways. That is not at all what Jesus did. That is not how the sentence is completed. Instead, the sentence reads, "Now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." God, you must be joking. In today's gospel, if we do the work, it can yield profound results in our lives, but only if we undertake the work. One profound, faithful, and early church teacher once said, "Whenever we read the Holy Scriptures, we must do everything that we can to use our imagination and senses, which God gave us. Although often misused for evil, the gift of imagination is not inherently evil. We should use our senses to immerse ourselves in the scenes of Holy Scripture and imagine that we are there. Moreover, we must allow the Holy Spirit who lives in us to connect us to the scenes of Holy Scripture, helping us to understand Holy Scripture's relevance to you and me and what the Lord desires for and from us." End quote. So let's dive in and see if we can glean some insights from the gospel that we just heard today and apply them to our lives. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, apart from the 12 disciples, are arguably Jesus' closest friends. They have a home in Bethany, just 2 miles from Jerusalem, where Jesus stays whenever he visits the city. It was at Lazarus' home that Jesus would have spent time with them. They were his companions, sharing a very close friendship, and Jesus loved them deeply and dearly. Thus, when Lazarus fell sick, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, who had witnessed Jesus healing people on numerous occasions, did what seemed most reasonable. They sent word to Jesus saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." They hoped that Jesus, who had healed the blind man, fed thousands by multiplying a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, and healed the bleeding woman who only touched the hem of his garment, would now come to care for his beloved brother who was unwell and heal him. And they eagerly awaited his arrival. But Jesus doesn't come. Four days later, he finally arrives. And when he does, Mary doesn't even come out to greet him. She stays in her house, perhaps feeling bitter. Martha goes to Jesus, and while what she says to him certainly implies deep faith, it can also be interpreted as an indictment or accusation. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But Jesus wasn't there. He didn't come. Why? How many of us can relate to that? Martha and Mary must have felt abandoned. They wanted Jesus to do something helpful and to heal their brother, their brother. Jesus, on the other hand, wanted to accomplish something unimaginable. He intended to bring Lazarus back from the dead. But the only way that that could happen was for them to endure the pain of feeling that Jesus had abandoned them, that he didn't care, that he wasn't coming. Earlier in the gospel, we hear Jesus say that this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Friends, suffering and death are not meaningless. God can use them for his purposes and glory in the world, even if their role in God's plan remains hidden from us. The loss of a close loved one is one of life's most painful, traumatic experiences. Here, we see that Jesus himself experienced the pain of loss caused by death. Jesus grieves and weeps over the death of his friend. He gets angry at death, which destroys life and causes pain and sorrow. When we feel the pain, sorrow, and anger that accompanies the death of a loved one, we should remember that God is there with us during those moments. The psalmist says that God remembers every tear that we shed. You have kept count of my tossings. You have put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Psalm 56:8. By the incarnation, God has entered into solidarity with humanity. He has felt grief and sorrow himself and has become one of us. This can reassure us that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. As the gospel continues, we hear the pointed question that Jesus asks, not only of Martha and Mary, but also of you and me. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? There is nothing impossible for Jesus. Do you believe this? As I have been praying with the Gospel of John this week, I believe that the Lord is inviting each and every one of us to do one straightforward thing. Reread this gospel story several times. And as we do, we are encouraged to do everything that we can to immerse ourselves in this scene of Holy Scripture, using our imagination and senses and calling upon the Holy Spirit to help us see Jesus standing at whatever tombs exist in our lives. These can include a broken relationship with a family member, friend, or neighbor, a troubled marriage, an addiction that we struggle with, or a child who has strayed from the true Christian faith. Our tombs might also be the bitterness in our hearts that feels unhealed and unwell, or old wounds that we cling to for some reason. Perhaps our tombs are the isolation that we experience, the sins that we struggle with, or the chaos in our society, culture, and world. Whatever your tomb may be, imagine seeing Jesus standing just outside of your tomb, just as he stood outside of Lazarus's tomb, and heal him pointedly ask each of us, do you believe that I can raise this, whatever this may be, from the dead? Do you think that anything is impossible for me? We must do everything that we can to envision that a man who was dead walked out of a tomb. This is not just a charming story that we tell our children. This true account reveals a profound reality about who God is and the good news that he offers us. Jesus brings dead things, particularly dead people like you and me, back to life. That's what God does best. It is what God loves to do. God delights in resurrecting the sinfully dead, reanimating dry bones, bringing them together, and saving the lost. Ultimately, God illustrates this through the death and resurrection of Jesus, his son, on the cross. We receive his healing and salvation through this loving act of God's grace towards us, his children. Perhaps what we need more than anything else in our lives is unshakable confidence in God. Difficulties will continue to come our way. They're present now and will be in the future. We either confront those challenges alone or with great trust and confidence that we, his children, are walking with our hands in his. Even though our ways are not his ways, and we may not understand why he does the things that he does, all things somehow work out for his good and his glory, no matter how it appears in the moment. Let's remember that even Jesus felt abandoned as he cried out from the cross, and we know what miraculously came from that event: the salvation of all who truly believe and follow God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's enter this scene of Holy Scripture and see Jesus standing in front of our tombs. Let's recognize that he never abandons us, that he's always faithful, that nothing is impossible for him. He turns trash into gold, sinners into saints, and he brings the dead back to life. Let's hear him ask us pointedly today, do you believe this? And let's pray for the grace to believe and trust fully in him, the Savior of the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please pray with me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, grant us the grace to believe and feel gratitude for your holy salvation, which leaves us in awe. Help us to always trust in you, no matter what. Call to every single one of us and lead us out of our tombs into your abundant and eternal life. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our friend, and our God. And all God's people said, Amen.